Welcome to Golden Talk. Integrity means to me when you're honest, you tell people what you think, you tell people why you think that.
Integrity means like being able to trust someone.
To me, integrity means when you are being good without being watched. You have a good behaviour even if no one is around you to ensure that you are being good.
Integrity means to me the act of knowing how to make the right decisions and how they'll affect other people's view or opinions or feelings.
So welcome to another edition of our Golden Talk series, which is focusing on the good work of the Golden Thread Alliance. And today we are talking everything integrity, which is one of our trust values. I have James and Sue with us. And in a moment, guys, I'm going to ask you just to introduce yourselves and to give a briefest outline of what you do within the trust. And then we're going to have a conversation about integrity. How does that sound?
Great.
Brilliant.
Amazing. So let's start with James. If you could just introduce yourself, your role, how long you've worked in Golden Thread.
Well, good afternoon. My name's James Kendall. I'm the Director of Education for the Golden Thread Alliance. I've been in the Golden Thread Alliance for the last 2 years. I've been in education for the last 20, largely looking after schools down in Southeast Kent. But now I thankfully work in North Kent, being part of this alliance.
That's not because you don't like South Kent, is it?
No, I absolutely love where I live. So I live right on the coast, which is beautiful. And the commute's a bit of a bane, but it's worth it. Yeah.
And Sue?
Hi, I'm Sue Kirby. I'm executive assistant to our CEO, Gary Ratcliffe. I'm a recent returner to the trust. I've previously worked with our CEO before for a number of years and returned to the trust last year, which I was delighted to do.
I had to choose you for this one, Sue, in terms of integrity, because you're one of the people in our organisation with the highest levels of integrity. And I just need to make it clear, when you talk about you being the executive assistant for the CEO, Gary Ratcliffe, you know that's me, right?
So,
yes, you are the boss of this organisation, basically, and rule my life, which is absolutely amazing, because you tell me where to be and how to be and organize everything for me, as well as about 1,000 other tasks. So it's hugely appreciated. And I think what makes it so lovely that you're here is because, as you said, you are a returnee. So you left to go and undertake another role and then you came back. And that happens quite a lot in our trust, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And for me, going away and experiencing different things, different projects, different pieces of work, along with the culture that comes along with those areas of work, it just demonstrated for me. I asked the question, why did I leave there? Because it's really not the same everywhere else. It really isn't.
That's really nice to hear, which I guess takes us on to my first proper question, which is around culture or around values. So what makes us special, James, as a values-led trust, if you think we are one?
Yeah, no, I do. And I think what makes it special is they're not just words. They're not just words that you would see in a strap line or, I don't know, fancy posters or displays in a school. I think there is a real buy-in. So I think when you understand values at a level that's deeper than the word itself, it translates into enjoyable joined up practice. And what I mean by that is, if you just look at the word respect, or indeed integrity, if children, parents, our community, our staff and each other understand what that means and buy in and accept that we're sort of all going to probably do better and probably enjoy it more along the line if we behave in that way, then that's where the magic happens, really. And I think within the Golden Thread Alliance, they play a really integral part. I know within my role, lots of decisions that I make impacts the 700 people we employ. So therefore, the decisions have to come from a place that means something bigger than the decision itself. So they're steered and directed by those values. And it doesn't matter whether that affects children, parents, carers or staff. That's testament to how big a part they play within our trust. I can't see an organisation surviving without them. They're sort of the pillars, really, that we're able to hold ourselves and other people to account.
Well, you say you can't think of an organisation surviving without them, but actually what I'm saying is we prioritise values over anything else, don't we?
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. I think it's very difficult for us to make a decision that falls outside of those, because those are the things that are on the front of our minds and the things on the tip of our tongue when we make them. We can't make decisions that don't promote respect. We cannot make decisions that don't come from a place of integrity. We can't. We end up losing as an organisation. People flood from those places rather than run to join. Mm. So, you know, every day, whether I see the whites of children's eyes or I meet with parents or staff, you're reminded of those values, really.
So what do you think makes us special?
Absolutely. Through the support, obviously, that I provide our CEO and working alongside such professional and talented educators within the Trust, in all of the work that we do, I observe that it's weaved into everything. It's always considered and at the forefront of everybody's minds. So of all the work that's undertaken. So for me, those Trust values and Trust, they're so aligned, and you really do get what it says on the tin.
Yeah, which is that golden thread, right? Yeah. So believe it or not, it was purposeful choosing the name Golden Thread Alliance because it is those golden thread of values. So let's start with Sue this time. As I said at the beginning, I think you're one of the people in our organisation with such high integrity. But what does that value mean to you personally within your golden thread role?
For me personally, integrity is about being honest, being open, transparent and reliable. But also it's about being able to hear that honesty, which sometimes that might be really difficult to hear, honesty. That's what it means to me, really, that open, honest transparency.
You know, times when I might have an idea or express an opinion that you don't agree with, which happens sometimes, but there is a sense of you feel a sense of integrity because you need to challenge me on that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in the right appropriate way, I would absolutely say how I felt about an issue and stand by my own views, and then that's for you to consider and take on board and listen to, which you absolutely do.
I hope so. And sometimes we don't agree, do we? And I certainly don't always agree with Mr. Kendall, but we have a sense of integrity, which means we respect each other's opinions. What about you, James? What does integrity mean to you personally within your golden thread role?
I think it's, you know, out of the seven values that we've got, that one is sometimes the most difficult to define, integrity. But actually, it's the one for me within my role and the role that others play that sort of binds it together. And for me, it's simply just doing the right thing. Being true to a value-led organization is having integrity to be strong enough and brave enough to live that professional and personal life. So integrity is really about sticking to your beliefs, being true with what you say and what you do. So therefore, not playing at it and not pretending, but actually understanding it and committing to it. So that for me is integrity. As in, integrity as a head teacher, integrity as a director of education, that's about sticking to your guns and making sure that you drive things in the right direction.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because you both sit in the same meetings as me. And for those listening, we have a range of meetings within our organisation where we're discussing all sorts of stuff, whether that's policy or how a particular day is going or the potential of a Ofsted inspection the following week or how we're going to deal with a particular challenge. And sometimes those meetings can be quite heated, or in the room it could be perceived that we all have very different opinions. What do you think about that?
You know, I agree. I agree. And sometimes that does happen. Sometimes you have to thrash it out. But the integrity behind that is making sure that we do. You know, without collaboration and without conversation between groups of people that don't necessarily wholeheartedly agree with what's happening next, that's the integrity part of the organisation, because life is so much easier and so much simpler without integrity, because kindness would drop, taking responsibility for your actions would drop, us being respectful in professional dialogue would drop. Integrity is the thing that binds us. So of course I'm going to say to you, Gary, I don't agree. I think that actually that might lead to, whether it's discord or the failure or chipping of one of our other values. And I think that that's an important conversation to be had. So for me, integrity is a constant reminder to stay true to the big stuff when you're making decisions on the little things.
What do you think, Sue, in terms of those meetings and how we demonstrate integrity as a senior team?
Look, I know some of the heads, obviously being here before, I know some of the heads a lot better than I am, and getting to know the others, you know, really, really well. But I do know in those meetings, I know that those conversations can be really, really robust, because they all have the children and the end game at the heart of it. That's why they can be robust and quite challenging conversations, because they have to be, and they need to be, and they wouldn't be doing their roles, I don't think, if they weren't challenging conversations.
And I don't think we have anyone now, do we, in our organisation that will sit there and lack the integrity to fight for what they believe is right for their school. Because actually, if you sit back and you're passive and you don't take part and you don't express your opinion in a safe and honest and transparent way, for me, that is a lack of integrity as well. What about our team? What examples could you talk to me about in terms of how you've seen integrity play out in everyday life within our organisation?
You know, there's way too many to mention on a very short podcast today, but I think, you know, you've got simple examples like an attendance officer having the integrity to understand that she needs to show courage to be able to have a difficult conversation with a parent, because we have signed up to the fact that we want every single child to attend as often as they possibly can. And sometimes that's not easy. But integrity allows her to take a breath, stand firm, and in a very professional and courteous way, hold people to account for not getting their children to school every day and uncovering those barriers. So I've got colleagues in the schools that I work across that are doing that every day, because they are values led. They understand that in order for our other values to come to fruition, they sometimes have to use their integrity to do things that are difficult, because sometimes, you know, things can be a lot simpler by not.
So what do you think?
I'm going to mention a colleague directly. Is that allowed?
Let's use her job title, yep, and not her name, because I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone. And if I know the person you're speaking about, they are very humble, but also quite private. So just explain their position and why you think they have integrity.
This person works within our school improvement team, and they are the senior school improvement lead within the central team. And this person demonstrates everything that I consider embodies integrity, really. She stands up for what she believes. She absolutely does. In my opinion, you know, in what I've observed, she's reliable, she's open, and she's honest in her approach. And I think the last week of how this person, you know, supported others as well across the trust in that real professional way, for me, just kind of, yeah, just impacted that for me. Confirmed what I already kind of knew.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. And this week, you know, whilst podcasts can be listened to at any time, as we're recording this, we've just come out of the back of an Ofsted inspection, as I say, taking the biggest deep breath in, because, you know, for any school and any trust, Ofsted visits are always an event, and they always take place with a sense of trepidation. And this person that you're talking about led that support within that school with huge integrity. And her decisions aren't always popular, are they? And I think that makes her level of integrity even more important, because she knows what she believes in. She will make unpopular choices sometimes, but they are always child-centered and always values-based. So how do we then, and this is your role, James, in terms of our organisation, how do we teach integrity to our children?
It's a tricky one, because it's sometimes the most difficult one to define. Being respectful and taking responsibility are an easy two, aren't they? Kindness, equality, they're easier to understand for children of all ages. Integrity is a tricky one, because it's not just about telling the truth. You know, that's an easy one really to get into children, about honesty being the best policy. But if we really look about integrity, it feeds into children understanding about peer pressure and being true to themselves, understanding about equality and actually being able to be honest enough and strong enough and brave enough to really live the life that they feel is right, rather than, I guess, being swayed or tempted with the general flow of traffic. And therefore, our work around PSHE, our work around circle time, the development of our curriculum, giving these children opportunities to form opinions that are values-based, is an important aspect. All of our schools have core values in that mirror or match the trust's core values. And that curriculum, that character curriculum, is an important element. So whether it's assemblies, whether it is a character curriculum that's done through rewards or initiatives or recognition, in children being a particular way rather than learning a particular thing, I think that's the personal development bit that we'd like to explore further in terms of the Golden Thread Alliance.
I probably at this point in every podcast have mentioned this sort of thing that I'm so passionate about, which is us growing good humans, us developing humanity. Absolutely, reading, writing, using number is really important. But for me, it's not as important as making sure that we say goodbye to children in year six with them being the best version of themselves. And sometimes that's described as a bit sort of out of our agenda or a bit woke even. What do you think about that?
It's my number one priority. I think that's where it starts. I think you're absolutely right. We cannot ignore, you know, a significant part of what we do is to make sure that children are personally and educationally ready for year seven, right? That goes without saying. But the other bit that can sometimes be overlooked is critical. You get all of that from instilling the former. And when children have stopped learning a particular subject or have moved on to other interests in life, it's the core values that will stay with them forever. That will form and help relationships. That will form and help employability. It's those soft skills, including integrity, that will take them further, in my opinion, than pretty much anything else.
So?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Obviously, my views are very different to James's for obvious reasons. But as a parent, you know, children learn by what they see. So, and what we do, you know, as adults around them. So I think it's really important to continue to lead by example. Yeah, and I think it's really important that they're ready for those next steps, and not just about reading and writing and know how to navigate their way, not just through the world, but the people of our world, that can sometimes be challenging to do if you're not skilled on how to do that.
Brilliant. It's been really good speaking to you both today. Two people undertaking very different roles within our organisation, with such a varied level of experience and expertise, but both equally valued. So thank you for today.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.